get to know the artist behind the epic melodies, songs, and beats. Celebrating the best new music from around the world. This is the A State of Trance Podcast.
Hey, what's up? My name is Ruben Ronde, and in the studio today, I have another guest for the podcast, Mr. Achilles. How are you doing, man?
Good, man. How are you?
All the way from Australia, here in the studio today.
Yeah, a long way to come. But
how does it feel to be back in the Netherlands? Because you were here the last time for, well, you were here for Tomorrowland already.
A few times, yeah.
And then afterwards you were for AD, but now you're spending a longer time here.
Yeah, longer time here, almost like trialing to live here, whether I can live here or, and I love it here. It's great. There's definitely things I miss back home, but there's many things to love about Amsterdam and Holland in general.
So. What is the number one thing that you miss from Melbourne?
I miss the food and wine and drink culture, the coffee culture. I'm a bit spoiled in that regard, living in Melbourne. It's world famous for that. You know, you can go to get whatever cuisine you want. Every night of the week, you could go to a different place. You'd never go be able to see them all. So yeah, Amsterdam food is good too.
Yeah.
But yeah, the coffee is definitely better back home, I think.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Interesting. I also think that, well, it's not really on topic right now, but I think Melbourne is also more laid back than Sydney, for example, right?
Yeah, I mean, the states in Australia have their own nuances. Melbourne's very different from Sydney. Melbourne's a bit like mini New York, I describe it as. Sydney's maybe a bit more like in LA, or it's a more beautiful city. It's got a wonderful bay, but Melbourne's definitely easier to live and get around and work and things like that.
Did we start a fight now in Australia?
Probably. I mean, I love Sydney. I love people from Sydney. There's a lot of trance fans in Sydney. I love Sydney. Yeah. Shout out Sydney.
Awesome. Hey, let's start at the beginning because, of course, Australia has a rich culture dance music wise. How did you fall in love with dance music? What was the first step into finding out what dance music is for you, or trance in general?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think you have to go back to my childhood, which kind of coincided with the explosion of EDM or electronic dance music. Mm-hmm. I know sometimes people use that term to describe a genre. I don't really like using it to describe a genre. It's just dance music to me.
Genres are gone anyway.
Yeah, especially these days.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was really into pop music and hip hop, and I was trying to make it as a pop songwriter, particularly in the urban scene. And as a kid, I learned to play piano and started making beats on a very, very early version of FL Studio, mm-hmm. which a friend introduced me to. And from there, I kind of grew to love dance music because at the time, you know, I was just finishing high school. And then I was lucky enough to catch the last couple of Stereosonic festivals and Future Music festivals, and these, mm-hmm. you know, they're world famous for, you know, being probably our best dance music festivals ever in Australia. Yeah.
Big shout out to Richie and Jeanette, of course.
Yeah.
I think, I'm so sad I missed out on those also, because I remember seeing on the, well, it wasn't social medias back then. Like, how would you see those? Maybe Facebook or something.
Yeah.
Like.
But it was guerrilla marketing too, you know, like posters in the city and,
yeah.
Like that, yeah.
But I remember that they traveled pretty much like five or six big cities in Australia, and it would be like artists touring together, becoming best friends and hanging out, doing studio sessions together during the week and stuff like that. So sad I missed out on it, but now Festival X is here also, of course.
Yeah.
But it's not the same as those festivals.
Yeah. Well, I think the musical direction has changed a bit, but yeah, we definitely, Festival X is a great festival too.
Yeah.
But yeah, growing up, I was, you know, I'll never forget certain moments at those festivals, which really, really inspired me to you know, this music is awesome. And the best part about it is I can make this music. You know, yes, I had a bit of a musical background, but it wasn't inaccessible to the point, you know, if you want to start a band or you need lots of people to work with, you need a producer, you need all this kind of stuff to make it happen. Yeah. Whereas in dance music, and it's important to differentiate the difference between a producer and a DJ, they're two different things, but you could learn how to do both and create an artist project. So yeah, that was really world first with dance music.
So you started out making music, you were creating pop stuff, hip hop and stuff like that. And at a certain point you went to festivals and you were inspired to start doing your own dance music.
That's pretty basically, much, yeah. Yep.
So that's when was this moment that you were making the full switch that you were like, okay, this is what I want to pursue?
As far as the Achilles project as it is today, that was only really a couple of years ago, but I'd been making music a long time before that. And if you go on Spotify, you'll find from maybe 2012 or 2013, some old Achilles remixes that I did, because I was using the name on SoundCloud, just unofficially, bootlegs,
yeah,
things like that. But it wasn't until 2020, the pandemic, where things happened in my life that inspired me to say, you know what, I'm going to start fresh and start a new artist project. And that's kind of what Achilles is. And it was, the artist name was easy because it's my surname as well. Yeah. So
what happened in the 8 years between, like 2012 and 2020? Because if I look back on Beatport, when I was doing this research, I was like, hey, when was the first release that you had? On Beatport, at least, it's July 2020, something like that. And then I saw some other releases on DistroKid, were just a little bit before that. So let's say the 2020 was the first time the world was introduced to Achilles, I guess. Yep. But what happened in those 8 years that you were doing your first release in 2012 and then 2020?
Yeah, so I mean, nothing really too exciting to write home about, but we had some success in the songwriting world.
Okay.
Basically, and for those listening at home, there's a whole ecosystem outside of artist projects where teams of songwriters write music for other artists. And that's often how, as DJs, we come across our top lines, unless we're in the studio with the writer, or unless we sing and write ourselves, which some of us do. Usually songwriters are the backbone of the music industry. So that's what I was doing in my spare time during that
so you were writing songs and then you would pitch them to artists and they would pick it up, or yes or no?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. But I was always more of a producer. I don't sing. There are a few of my own backing vocals in certain of my tracks. I won't say which ones, but little Easter eggs. But
the microphone is yours, man. Take it away.
No. I don't sing. But I do write, you know, I write lyrics and produce. But production is my favorite thing to do, I'd say. My biggest strength.
So here we are in 2020. You decided that you wanted to do dance music for yourself. You put out some music. What was the next step?
It wasn't that long ago, but it was kind of, it fell into place. Twitch was a place where we connected for the first time, I think. Yeah. And what happened during the pandemic was all these DJs, they were so desperate to play music, and as was I, but for a different reason. I was doing it because I had a bit of spare time. Hey, let's try and stream on Twitch and build a social media platform. So I started doing that, and at the same time, you know, coincided with this, me having the motivation to start a new project, because we all had so much more time on our hands.
Yeah.
That's the thing that, you know, money can't buy. Time. It was really just everything falling into place of me starting a new artist project, starting a social media profile, and then through DJ support, and I was doing everything myself, and still to this day do most of it myself. But it was a really, really cool time, because everyone was a little bit slowed down. So when you sent DJs demos or other people, they would have the time to listen to it. Now it's a little different because everyone's gone back to touring and the opportunities are less. It is harder. It's always harder with each generation to make it in a sense, because you can't follow the footsteps of those who came before.
Yeah.
You know, if you can look at the stars today, or in the dance scene, or any entertainment industry, really, the way that they became successful doesn't work for you. So we all have to create our own way. So for me, it was a pretty unique way. I don't think I would even recommend it anymore 2 years on, but Twitch was a really, really important part of me, my motivation.
Yeah.
To really start a new artist project, because the audience was there and they loved it. So,
yeah, because in my personal experience with you, because I know you for a few years already, also because of Twitch, I remember just browsing on the channels and the dance music, and I ran into you also in you, and I guess we were in each other's. Well, for me, it was a little bit hard because your streaming times were midnight for us, or even in the morning. But you would hop around in my chat as well. And I remember very vividly that you sent your first demos and the sound was always so good. And I was always like, it's almost there. It's almost there. And then at a certain point, it was like, here he is. You made that switch from making something that's okay or that's nice or that sounds good. And suddenly it was like, bam, here it is, Achilles. Do you also feel the same way that you, at a certain point you were like, okay, I'll make okay music. And then you took that extra step into making something signable.
I think my issue was I wanted to do everything. And yeah. Often as creatives, we get bored very quickly of certain types of music, certain genres.
Yeah.
So really the biggest difference in skill set wise, because you know, I had the skill set always, but it was in order to really excel at a particular type of music, you really have to put the reps in, the 10,000 hour rule. You need to build your system. You need to train. It's like learning a language to perfection. Yeah. That's the difference between like in my opinion, good artist and great artist. They learn their tools. They have talent, but you really need to work hard. Yeah. Nothing beats hard work.
Hard work beats talent in general. Yeah,
exactly. And so for me, it was finding the sound that I wanted to do. And I mean, ultimately, the trance scene, like I used to buy the ASOT CDs as a kid. Mm-hmm. You know, I used to buy them from, there was a store in Australia, it's still around, but everyone used to go to JB Hi-Fi and mm-hmm. buy their CDs. I used to buy like Ministry of Sound compilations and other compilations. And Estate of Trance was one of those. And so I would buy them with my pocket money. Mum would be driving me around to school or wherever. I'd be playing them in the car. And yeah, that was my introduction to dance music. I forget why I was saying that. But anyway, it ties into...
Do you think a lot of up-and-coming artists are too impatient right now? You're saying right now that you have to put in the 10,000 hour rule.
I remember what I was saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, so really, I totally agree with what you just said. Patience is key. It's definitely not something that's come easy to me.
Yeah.
But the work, the sheer amount of work to be successful, no matter what you want to do, you know, you got to find something you love. But then you realize once it becomes work, it really weeds out the people who, the hobbyists from the pros.
Yeah.
Because there are times when it's really, really not fun. There are times when it's really fun, you know, playing shows, things like that. But there is a huge amount of time where you need to grind and have faith that, okay, this is going to pay off. So, yeah.
Do you think a lot of people fall off because of that?
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. And especially people who maybe don't get into it for the right reasons, or they think that the life of an artist is all glitz and glam when it's certainly it's not. I mean, we've both had recent experiences where it's been
delays and flights, sitting on the airports and that's the side of the artist life that people don't see. And a lot, and I spoke about this also with Crowd Control on the podcast last year, is that a lot of people have really believe that we are millionaires doing what we're doing right now.
It's hilarious, isn't it?
It's kind of interesting to see that people have the, you know, they really think that it's a $1 million industry, but it's not. It's for a few people, but not for most of the people that create music or tour, because touring costs money also.
Mm. And I think a lot of that is, if we think about the entertainment industry, a lot of that is our own fault. Because what are we doing? We're posting on social media all our successes.
Yeah.
How good am I? How good is my life? You know, you have to play that game to an extent. But as a fan, I think quite often fans think that's all there is to it and nothing
else. Because no one posts online that you had a shitty day or that you've been on the airport the whole day just waiting for a flight to be canceled again and again and again and again.
Yeah.
Because people don't want to see that.
Yeah, that's right. I think I would actually say these days, there are some things that people do want to see your personal life more as an artist.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, it's hard to draw the line of how much to show. But I do think people, they react positively when you're genuine.
Yeah.
So, yeah, not everything is all rosy. And I think that's important for people to understand too. That's life.
But on the other side, it brings a lot of happiness also.
For sure.
I mean,
we love it.
Yeah. Let's dive into some of the questions that were submitted. And I'll have some more questions after that as well.
Yeah.
First, Alan Fox Diaz wants to know, how does it feel to be one of the fastest rising artists in your country, because you live in the Netherlands for a short period, but in Australia, you already had like a massive boom in already, because you played Transmission, you played with Marlowe, some shows and stuff like that. So tell us, or tell Alan, what does it feel like to be such a rising artist?
Well, it's great. I think gratefulness is key to everything. I'm very, very grateful for the opportunities I've had and been able to build for myself. But it's not as quick as maybe it appears. I've been making music a long time and finding myself for a long time as an artist. So yeah, I think a lot of the time it can look like that, but yeah, really there's a whole life experience goes into where I am today.
Yeah.
As far as the Achilles project goes, it's been, I've been very grateful for the support of people like Marlo and being able to support him. There is a rich dance culture in Australia to be a part of. Ultimately, there's not as many shows as there are here or the US or Asia.
Yeah.
But so the opportunities are more limited, and that's why a lot of us look abroad. But the Australian dance music culture has a special place in my heart, and I think a lot of hearts of DJs around the world as well.
Yeah, very much. It's one of those trips a year that you dread flying into, but once you're in Australia, it always feels like a second home or something like that. It's always nice. The people are so nice. The food is good, what you say. And the dance culture is amazing. Playing for Australian crowds is always some of the highlights for me, at least. So yeah, big shout out, Alan. Hope that answers your question. That's Drake Simon, one of the people from the community.
Yeah,
amazing guy. He spotted you at the State of Trance in London.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah. And he wants to know which was your favorite set.
Definitely Morton.
Yeah.
Hands down. Yeah. I mean, Morton's actually been quite supportive of my own records, and we connected online several times, but that was the first weekend I actually got to meet him, which was awesome. Mm-hmm. Super, super cool guy. And his set was unbelievable. I think it's also, like we were talking about this before, it's trance music in a new flavor.
Yeah.
And they're not calling it trance necessarily, but, Morton has the humility to, in a sense, to come and play at State of Trance and showcase his stuff. And people loved it.
Apparently he's one of the most frequent listeners of this radio show.
Yeah.
He walked in and he knew people that were working behind the scene, because they sometimes pop on socials or here in the studio, and he knew everybody apparently. I wasn't there unfortunately anymore because I had to leave to do more recordings here in the studio. But what I've seen is that he's an amazing guy, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And the music that he's putting out. I play a lot of stuff in my sets also. And then if I play it, then people label it trance or whatever. It's just interesting to see how well his set was received in London. So Morton, if you see this or if you listen to this,
shout out Morton.
Please come back and do another set for us, maybe in Rotterdam next year or something like that, or another location. But thank you for coming by. Lisabo wants to know, what is your all-time favorite trance song? Well, you did a few reworks of them, I guess.
Well, that's a tough one.
So if you back and let's say that you bought those CDs, those Ace State of Trance CDs back in the days, or you went to a State of Trance in 2015 in Australia. Mm. Let's go back to those days or anything.
There's so many that come to mind. I think there are classics, like Silence, which I've remixed.
Yeah.
A Deja for Strings. These songs hold a special place in everyone's heart. I'm going to say one that maybe isn't obvious. It's Requiem by Mark.
Oh, Mark Sixma. Yeah. M6.
Yeah. That song, I'll never forget the goosebumps it gave me, the first time I heard it. And that sound and that style, it still feels current today. It's timeless.
Yeah.
Really, really, really good song.
Yeah, he was here for the Armada 20 years episode a few weeks ago. And I have to say, like, the stuff that he made back in the days is, you can still play this.
Yeah.
It's still current. So I don't know did he already know, or did he create something in the past that just could last for years, or I don't know, he was some kind of a visionary or something.
He's an awesome producer. I mean, now we've got some multiple records together.
Yeah.
One is out, which I've played in the mix. But he's a super cool guy. And it's another one of those moments, childhood moments. I used to listen to all you guys really as a kid. And now I'm working with the people with the guy who made Requiem, how cool is that?
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is about music and there's certain producers, like you mentioned, Mark's one of those guys. I think Axwell is another guy where you listen to his music from 10 years ago, from 15 years ago, and sonically it still sounds so current. Mm-hmm. And that's so difficult to do. There are so many genres today, like trends and quick little TikTok trends and things that they're hot today, but they're not going to be hot in 10 years, quite obviously. True. But there are some sound, and you can never pick it. You can never pick what's going to be timeless, but it's always special when it happens.
Is this something that you pursue for yourself as well? Like you want to be so unique that you don't want to fall off, that people don't like it right nowadays, but that you would be remembered in 10 years from now?
Yeah.
Because that's the nightmare of a lot of artists, that they're like, okay, 10 years from now, no one even know who I was anymore.
Yeah, I don't think about it actively like that, but of course that's the goal. I think if you're trying to try too hard to do any one thing, you have to work hard, but not necessarily try to be something you're not. You just have to make music that you love and try and package it in a way that's digestible.
Yeah.
Like that's the challenge. You can never tell what's going to be timeless and what's not.
Mia Grali wants to know, how did you know that producing and DJing is your dream job? I guess we answered that kind of already in the early 2020s, you were like, okay, this is, well, you had an audience big enough to become partner on Twitch. That's already one step, I guess. So then you realize there's an audience for what I'm doing. Mm. I'm answering the question for you. I shouldn't do that, but that was one of those things, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, fundamentally, the feeling you get by creating something or channeling creativity through you and then being able to play music and perform in front of a crowd. You know, I think sometimes people ask, do you get nervous at shows and things like that? I actually don't. I get nervous before.
Yeah.
But then once you step on stage and
then it's fine.
It's not just fine. It's, you know, you're thriving.
Yeah.
That's the environment. I don't think that's true for everyone, but yeah, certainly for me, that's how I know.
For some artists, it's like the anxiety just slaps you in the face when you get on stage, and other ones are just enjoying it so much.
Yeah,
yeah,
for sure.
That's the highs and the lows, I guess. And Martin L wants to know, what is your dream collaboration?
Dream collaboration. I think that probably changes, you know, year on year. If we're talking dance music, well, mentioning before, probably Morten at the moment. Yeah. But there are so many artists that are incredible. You know, Axwell is another one who was a massive inspiration. Armin, of course, goes without saying. But probably right now, you know, 2023, Morten has an amazing sound. So, and it's quite compatible with my own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's make it happen.
Let's make it happen,
Morten. Easy. Sarah 12 wants to know, do you like Vegemite?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I mean, if you grow up on it, it seems to be okay. There's an actual Vegemite factory in Melbourne, and it's well known because when you drive past it, you can smell it, like the smell of, I don't know if it's like a yeasty smell, but it's very distinct.
Wait, hold 2 seconds. Just keep talking.
Yeah, no, that's all good. Oh, I think we have some Vegemite here.
Well, I'm not sure if. Sorry for that, but I was checking around in the back room because Big Texican took some Vegemite last time with ADE.
Yeah, shout out to Big Tex.
And no, it was actually, was it State of Trance early this year or was it ADE that he brought them in? But no one likes it here.
Yeah.
So it's still standing there with bolognese taste or something like that. It's interesting.
Yeah, we brought your Tim Tams as well because I was traveling with him. So we
those I ate because those are amazing.
Yeah.
Oh. No, I feel like having some things.
Aussie snacks.
Very, like I said,
our food, we're known for our food, right?
Very much. Okay, so what is coming up next in your schedule? Because I know how productive you are. I know you told me already that you're going to have releases out for the rest of the year already. You just released a track on Armind a few weeks ago, and that's coming on one up next week with Boris Fung from Malaysia. Yeah.
Shout out, Boris.
Boris, shout out. What else is coming up?
Yeah, releases wise, it's a pretty busy year.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I enjoy releasing regularly. I do want to next year slow down a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I think in the music industry has become so fast now that we're kind of losing the magic of every release.
Yeah. A release becomes a post.
Yeah.
Basically. Exactly. And people forget your last release straight away.
Yeah. And it's difficult. It's difficult, man, because our attention spans are so short, but I think we have to find a way as an industry to kind of shift a little bit more back to telling the story. A song should be special. It shouldn't be a commodity.
Yeah.
So yeah, this year is full. Not completely full, but mostly planned out releases wise. Few shows that probably can't say yet, but yeah, there'll be things happening back in Australia. I'll be back here for ADE as well. It's always fun time. So yeah, come and say, if you're in Amsterdam or you're in Europe, highly recommend coming to ADE. Especially as a fan, you get to see
it is,
so
it's
many.
It's amazing. People just walking around everywhere, having a good time, just networking here and there. So now you're living here in the Netherlands for a few weeks already. I would love to know, did you pick up some Dutch already? Because I've seen all you...
Yeah.
I see that you're using Duolingo, so the microphone is yours.
Ik spreek een beetje Nederlands.
Heel, very well, very well, very good.
Look, not conversationally, no, but you know, my name is Achilles, ik ben een DJ.
Yeah.
There's some very funny things that Duolingo teaches you sometimes. Like it teaches you the objects. And so it'll give you sentences that really don't make sense. Like you have to say, repeat back, like, ik ben een appel. And so, you know, which if you don't speak Dutch, it means I am an apple.
Ik ben een banaan.
Or je bent. In Australia, sometimes we as an insult, we say, oh, you're a banana. Je bent een banaan?
All right. There's one more thing that I want to address because most of the times when I have people here in the studio, they are very established already. They had a career for like, let's say 15, 20 years already. And you're still so fresh into the scene. What is it like to be new, the new kid on the block? How are people treating you?
How they're treating me?
Or how do you see your surroundings around you? Do you see a change or anything?
I think the trance scene particularly has been very, very welcoming. And I think that's a testament to, you know, what, the trance family you guys have built over 20 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
Especially Armin, like Armin's work ethic is unparalleled. There's so many artists out there. I think, you know, what Armin's done in building this community, obviously not alone, but is unparalleled in the dance music industry. The State of Trance, it's the biggest radio show by far. There's no competition.
Mm-hmm.
And that I think is a testament to his incredible work ethic. So to step into that is, I'm just immensely grateful. People are generally supportive. I think, look, people appreciate good music, but it's also about being a good person, putting good energy out and, you know, hoping for the best, but not expecting anything in return. I mean, that's my policy.
Yeah.
Be present. Don't expect anything. Just enjoy the ride and be grateful for what comes.
And since you've been on the rise for such a short period here as an Achilles, do you run into people that rejected you in the last few years as well? And how do you deal with that?
Yeah, a little. But I mean, you can't hold, as an artist, you know, and I give this advice to anyone trying to make it, you can't hold resentment for that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the things are so saturated now, unfortunately, that if you're a bigger DJ or a label, you have to look at the audience size. You have to look at what's happening. You unfortunately can't give everyone an opportunity. So as an artist, get used to rejection because, I mean, we're talking about, you know, the highs and lows of being an artist. That's one of the lows, one of the negatives that you have to learn to deal with.
Yeah.
So I personally don't hold any animosity. I mean, yeah, look, sometimes you feel like, you know, you rejected me and I was a small, tiny producer with no one listening to my music and now, you know, things are a little different and now you want to work with me kind of thing. You know, I think you have to kind of avoid getting too caught up in negativity because it's not healthy.
No, that's one of those things where people fall off as well, I guess.
Yeah. Social media doesn't help. If you're constantly consuming social media and comparing yourself to others, that's
the comparing thing that's a big problem, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Mental health, super important.
Yeah.
And one of the big parts of being an artist, if you want to be a successful artist, you know, as I've learned already, I guess you learn this pretty quick. You have to look after yourself first. Physical and mental health is utmost.
How do you do that?
You know, eat well, consume positive content, consume content that educates you, entertains you in a wholesome way. Avoid content that makes you feel negative. It's important to know, you know, what's going on in the world, but there's a limit. You can't solve every problem in the world. Sometimes you just have to start with yourself. And I think social media, it's a blessing and a curse in that way. So I think just self-awareness and knowing yourself, what your weaknesses are as well, your pitfalls, trying to look at the big picture. What are my goals? You know, my goals for this year, my goals for 5 years, where do I want to be? What am I going to do to-
Do you write down all of those goals? Do you have like a dot on the horizon that's where I want to be?
Yeah.
Or is it more short-term?
I certainly write down, you know, short-term goals for mm-hmm. sure. Long-term goals are more up here.
Yeah, that's what I do as well. Like every time, like I'm not sharing them with anyone either.
Yeah.
It's just like little checkboxes I have in my head. I want to achieve this and this and this and this and this.
And they have to get bigger, you know.
Yeah, you have to challenge yourself.
You know, this is another thing that's bittersweet in the artist world. You achieve certain things. Like I'll give you an example. I will never forget that where I was, what I was doing, the moment I found out that Tiesto played one of my records for the first time.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, when almost everyone's playing my records, you're never going to have the same magic, but never forget those moments. And those moments have to keep getting bigger and bigger. Those goals have to keep getting bigger and bigger, fewer between them, right? Yeah. Few and far between. That's a good example of
I wish the human brain didn't work like this, that you would not get excited anymore when something happens that already sort of happened. Like if you're an artist or a DJ and someone plays your songs, you should be, you know, you should be happy about it anytime that's something is like that has happened.
Yeah.
If you look back at your old days, when I remember for example, one of the first artists that ever played one of my songs was Ian Betts, who at that moment was playing Creamfields and stuff like that. And that's one of those things that I'll never forget. Also, what you're saying, the first time on the State of Trance when I was not even part of the team, or those were monumental things that you never, never, ever forget.
Yeah.
Now I wish it was always like that, but it is what it is. Yeah.
I also try and savor those moments, and whenever lately I'm really trying to make a point to do that as well. Like try and thank people for supporting music and things like that. I must give a shout out to Somna because he was, I think, I'm 90% sure, he was one of the first DJs or the first DJ to play one of my tracks officially on a radio show ever as Achilles. So yeah, shout out Somna, man.
He was here a few weeks ago also.
Yeah.
One of the Twitch groups. I would say the people that really helped us through the, at least myself, through the lockdowns was yourself, Somna, Triode, of course, as well, Gabriel and Dresden,
yeah, Dave.
So,
big shout out.
A few of those amazing artists that really helped everyone through lockdowns.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, it was a nice time.
I saw last week that, total side note, that Gabriel and Dresden shut down the studio where they did Club Quarantine from because they sold the house.
That
should be a museum by now, to be honest.
Yeah. What he did was awesome for the community.
Definitely.
For sure. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for answering all these questions. I'm very excited to see what you're going to bring in the future. Just keep on doing what you're doing, man. You're doing a fantastic job and you're good, guys. So I wish you all the best. And let's welcome you many times again in the future for In the State of Trance. So thank you once again, Achilles, for being here.
Thanks, Ruben. Appreciate you, man.
I'll see you next time for a new podcast. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in. Check all previous episodes on YouTube or your favorite podcast portal. A State of Trance podcast.